For those of you on the podcast feed that are listening, I'm about to go live now. Christy is frozen, so I'm not sure what her Wi-Fi situation here is, but hopefully she'll be able to get that going soon. So I'm just gonna get started here and go with it, and we should be getting going any time now. We are up and running. It is not made for kids. We are live. And let me go ahead and get the video link, share it, and we are good to go. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Suds News, Suds in the Squared Circle. My name is Vinny. Christy has joined us and she has been
I
unfrozen.
think I'm here.
You are here.
Hopefully, I'm not frozen.
We have thawed you out and welcome. Just a bit of technical difficulty. Seems like it's been like that for the co past couple weeks, or p past a couple episodes, I should say. Anyways, we are here with Suds News and we are here to talk about everything that happened in General Hospital for last week, which was the 29th of January until now, February 2nd. I cannot believe we're already in the second month of the year. And holy cow. Christy,
Holy cow.
how was your week?
It's been a crazy week, but life goes on.
Yes.
And we always have General Hospital to turn to, right? So I'll just put it that way. It's I had a work issue, I had a friend issue, but it's fine. We'll just focus on General Hospital for a bit.
Yes. Hello, 10th floor. Welcome to the chat. And yes, we are all a team here. All the soap opera podcasts. A couple of programming notes for you. Tomorrow night, 10 p.m. right here is Dockside at the Bay. We'll be talking about The Bay, The Beginning, episode number 4. And then on Wednesday, we'll be having a Squared Circle news show. And joining me will be a special guest, Amanda Russ. You know her from the Bold and the Beautiful mini spotlight, as well as the Y&R mini spotlight on JLJ Media. She will be joining me for Squared Circle News and talking all about NXT Vengeance Day that happened on Saturday, on Sunday, I should say, last night, and then Monday Night Raw from tonight. All about the Cody Rhodes and the Rock situation and how it could be a work. Just everybody was up in arms. It was trending all weekend. Hashtag we want Cody. Just the fact that, first of all, from what I'm reading now, and we'll get into it more on Wednesday, but from what I'm reading now, the WrestleMania main event was part of the Rock's deal for joining the board on TKO. So who the hell knows whether that's going to go through or if it's a work? We still don't know. But you know what? That's for Wednesday. We had a lot going on in we had a lot going on in Port Charles last week. A couple other things. We are officially a an affiliate for WWE Shop. So go to sudsandsquaredcircle.com/wrestling merch. That has our affiliate code already built in. Definitely go ahead and buy us a coffee. buymeacoffee.com/suds and squared circle and go ahead and go help us out and follow us on Patreon, patreon.com/suds and squared circle. I have started posting stuff on Patreon until we get to the point where we have more members and stuff. I'll be putting them out for everybody, but we do have a $3 a month tier. Support the show, help us out, and we'll be posting more stuff that is exclusive to Patreon, like show notes, like exclusive updates and exclusive shows. And anytime that we do have interviews that we are working on, anytime we do have interviews, you'll get extra footage on Patreon and buy me a coffee. So go to either one of those and help us out, support the show. Again, thank you for joining us. Hit that like button, subscribe, get notified. If you're listening on the podcast feed, go ahead and give us a 10-star review on our 5-star review, excuse me, on Apple Podcasts. Probably 10 stars was in Tokyo Dome. But I see that look on your face. That's an inside joke for wrestling fans. but yeah, on Apple Podcasts, give us a 5-star review as well as Spotify. We are found
everywhere. Yeah, all wrestling jokes are lost on me. So I'm like, what?
So just a kind of a quick catch up with that is that there's a certain wrestling writer who's who calls himself a journalist. His name is Dave Meltzer. He does a lot of the rankings of matches. He's been doing it for like since the 80s. 10th floor says, I love how all the wrestling goes over Christie's head.
It does. It really does. I mean, unless you're talking about like The Rock or Stone Cold, which is when I watched wrestling once upon a time ago, I really don't know what you're talking about. So,
yeah.
My roommates did go to an AEW show last week, though. There was a one that taped here in New Orleans. I don't know what shows they were, but I think it was AEW. I think that's what my roommate told me.
If it was AEW, it was probably AEW Dynamite and Collision.
They did some Bayou something. I don't know what they called it. Bayou something. I don't know. Because they in the Bayou down here.
So, as I was saying, the whole thing with the star ratings, Dave Meltzer gives his star ratings for every match. And the inside joke is that when he watches shows from Japan that especially take place in the Tokyo Dome, he generally rates them higher. So, you know, because he hates the WWE, he has a very, very big disdain for the WWE and all things, you know, sports entertainment.
Oh my.
But that's kind of inside baseball. We are here. We are live. Again, thank you. So we've got a lot going on last week. We did have the last air date for Nicholas Alexander Chavez before he went to film the Netflix series about the Menendez boys. And so he's, you know, it's kind of broke up Sabrina. So how are you feeling about the demise of Sabrina?
I wouldn't call it that. I would say they're put on pause until Nicholas Chavez films his TV show, which I don't know, what is that going to be, like 3 months or something he's going to be away, maybe more, I don't know. And I just consider them put on pause. I don't consider Spencer dead because he's presumed dead. They never find a body. So, you know, when they never find a body, they're not really dead, right?
Yeah.
So I'm not sad. I'm not going to be sad about it because I don't consider Spencer really dead. And Sabrina is just put on pause.
Yeah.
That's what I consider it. So.
And I get that. Of course, when you're in the know, Nicholas Alexander Chavez's contract has not expired. And he's just taking a brief pause, so he'll be back at some point. However,
I guess if that wasn't like public knowledge, I'd be like, what happened? Why you do that?
Exactly. Hey, Nathan, welcome to the chat. Welcome to the show. Nathan Banks is in the house. However, with that said, Esme Prince, Avery Pohl has ended her run on General Hospital, so she has. She, again, Esme is supposedly dead, and but she is actually not coming back.
I will say I am fine with us having Esme dead, but not Spencer. That's a different story.
Although I really like the character of Esme, and I think they could have groomed her to be the next Helena.
Right? She really was headed for that, to be honest.
She was, absolutely. But and could you imagine just with the genes of Heather Weber and Ryan Chamberlain to that could, right there could have been awesome. And it still could be. There's always room for her to come back.
True. Yeah, she could recast.
Yeah. Well, not even recast, but just come back, come in and out. You know, can't miss me if I don't go away. How many times did Helena die and come back? And, you know,
true.
So Definitely, she could easily come back at any point in time, but Avery Pohl had been phenomenal in that role, and I really liked her, especially when she knocked Kevin out over the head, and took off to Paris.
Sure. Yeah.
So, as we left last week, we know that Esme knocked Kevin over the head. So coming into this week, as they track her credit cards and financial statements, Dante and Chase receive a tip that Dante and Chase get a tip where that the her former nanny is in Canada, Toronto, of all places. And they go up there. They meet up with the Canadian cop and go talk to Maggie. Maggie made an appearance this week. Because they said we have reason to believe that Esme's up here. And then Esme did say that Maggie did say that she hadn't talked to Esme in a while. So that whole letter that was for that was left for them was staged for her, for them to find. And the fact that she used her own credit card for the train ticket to Toronto, she was thinking ahead. She definitely thought ahead and definitely got to the point where she was trying to get their scent off of her. However, Maggie did say that, listen, I did write to her. I said I was in Toronto, but I never gave her an exact place. I never, gave her an address. The people I'm working for now are extremely private. And they realized the dead end. And they did say that, Esme was in trouble. And they asked Maggie if we could find
Yeah.
her.
Yeah, they have that set up well. Esme like try to cover her tracks really well with that and try to like divert them, which they did. It wasted time. It wasted their time until they were like, oh, well, obviously she's in Paris. She's after Sabrina. Well, duh.
Yeah.
Like, you really thought about it. Like, where would she really go right
Right.
now?
Yeah.
Being mad about Ace and everything. Like, where would she really go? Come on.
Right.
Like,
Exactly.
but nobody wanted to believe that the bad Esme was back. So they were like, oh, yeah, sure. She went to Toronto to see her old nanny or whatever. I'm like, people.
And the 10th floor brings up a good point. Helena was never in the opening. Her power was being part time. That she'd come in for, a good 3 month or 6 month run, and then she leaves. And that's one of the best things about that character. And I think that's how they should have worked with Victor as well. Let him go for 3 months and give him a good storyline, and then let him go home for a little while. But that's the best way to have a villain, is to have them going in and out, cause a little bit of chaos. They did the same thing with Jerry Jacks. We'll see if Esme ends up coming back when Nicholas Alexander Chavez, when Spencer, gets found alive or whatever the case may be.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure.
I really do like that. I really do like at the beginning of the week when Spencer and Trina were at the restaurant, and they were talking about, they were just having their small talk and getting to know each other's, childhood, and they were really being romantic, like really getting to know each other, which kind of makes the fact that Nicholas Alexander Chavez, that Spencer had to leave for a while, that much more, heartbreaking, because they really getting much closer because they had the time to themselves. Spencer wasn't, focusing on Ace, didn't have to worry at the time, didn't have to worry about Esme. So it was just the two of them. They were talking about, Spencer was reminiscing about his childhood and caviar. Trina, says that she wants to try out the coq au vin in Paris. So it's just so heartbreaking that they had to do it right in the middle of this kind of a storyline, but it leaves a lot more like to me this week actually made Spencer and Trina a likable couple, in my opinion. Because I was
What? They weren't a likable couple before for that?
Yes, I know that's
You
gonna
gotta get this. Sabrina's coming after you in the mentions now that you said that. You know that, right?
Well, let me put it this way. I had no problem with them as a couple, but I was never a huge Sabrina fan, and it's just, and it might have been the fact that it took so long for them to get together. But
Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
it made me root for them more this week.
I was happy for them. I mean, there were so many great moments with them. I mean, they had the romantic dinner, they had the sex, because she just wore that red dress so he could take it off. That's a
Yeah,
Taylor reference.
of
Taylor
course.
Swift reference, y'all. So, and then they had like the wedding vows basically on the boat. That was like wedding vow material,
was.
okay? I'm
It
like, am
was.
I getting a preview for their wedding right now? Because it felt like that when they were saying all those words to each other. I was like, well, just get married right now.
Right.
Jeez. Like, y'all just out here on a boat doing the wedding vows, So it was really nice, and I liked the moments with them, and they were great. And I think that was kind of GH's point to give them like the highest of the highs before giving them the lowest of the lows. But the whole Spencer and Esme being presumed dead within like 48 hours thing. And I mean, I guess that's a thing. I guess that's
Yeah.
realistic to be like, oh, well, if we search for bodies after 48 hours, we just presume them dead. But I'm going, no, this happened way too quickly for me to buy that Spencer is actually dead. It's
Yeah.
General Hospital. It's a soap. Like,
Right.
we know this is not really the end for probably for Esme either. I mean, I would love for Esme to be dead, but they'll probably bring her back too at some point. So, like, I know that Spencer will come back. So, like I said, Sabrina is just put on pause, but I think we got some really like epic material. So, I would just say to Sabrina fans, use that material, soak with that material, and use it for your fan videos and your fanfics. And then we'll just wait the 3 months or whatever we gotta wait for Nicholas Chavez to come back, and then they'll bring Spencer back from the dead. It's gonna be fine. I wouldn't worry.
Of course, the biggest joke making the rounds last week was that the boat that Sabrina were on was the recycled Haunted Star scene.
No, I'm sure it was.
Yeah.
Because when I was watching, I was like, let's see if this looks like the Haunted Star in any way, shape, or form. So, like, yeah, I'm sure they like try to make some things look different. But yeah, I mean, it's like essentially the same set, right?
Was, yeah.
Like, essentially.
And I think that they said the restaurant that they were sitting in was like the same restaurant from Nixon Falls and something else. So I mean, of course the soap with a low budget, they're gonna reuse the sets. We know that.
Yeah, of
By the
course.
way, if you didn't catch it over the weekend, the 10th Floor had a great interview with Jordan's portrayer, if I could say it right, Tanisha Harper. Check that out on their YouTube channel, 10th Floor Podcasts. It was streamed live yesterday, but it's up on demand now. Check that out. As well as, all of the other soap opera shows with the 10th Floor Podcast, JLJ Media and Dish and Days and the like. We're all a big family here. So go check that all out. 10th Floor does in a chat go on and says, Christy knows she's been on Liaison for years. She paved the path y'all are walking.
Oh, thank you. That's so sweet for you to say. I mean, I did that for a little over 10 years, and then it just kind of, I got to the point where I just kind of had like got into a point where I felt like it was a good stopping point for me personally. My heart just wasn't quite in it anymore. But you know, Vinny here has kind of revived my love for talking about GH. So you have Vinny to thank for bringing me back on the airwaves. So thank you for saying that. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much. So kind of getting into more of the actual story, Trina, you know, outside of the restaurant, we saw Esme come through, lurking in the shadows. You know, as we know that she's in Paris during that time, you know, Dante talks to Alexis and says, "Hey, you know, could you check your court?" Or Kevin actually was the one that said it and said, "You know, when I walked in on Esme, she had the Invader corporate credit card." So that's when they call Alexis, who actually was, I believe she was at the courthouse. Was she at the courthouse or at Christina's house? I think she was at the courthouse when she got the message. Yeah, the courthouse. And got the message and, you know, said, "Well, I'll get all the charges on the records and I'll get them over to you." And sure enough, they found the plane ticket to Paris that Esme purchased with the corporate credit card. And then, you know, Dante and Laura, Chase didn't go out to Paris, but Dante went, Laura went, and Portia ended up going. And I like that Curtis is getting more involved with action-packed stories rather than just, you know, the storyline of, "Oh, woe is me. I'm now, you know, paraplegic. I'm, you know, paralyzed. I can't do anything." I like that they actually had him go to Paris. Not that we necessarily saw so much action.
Oh, yeah. You know, I'm glad you brought that up because I was like, finally, we're seeing Curtis again in physical therapy, which I talked about for weeks. Like, why aren't we seeing him in physical therapy trying to walk or whatever? So he was trying to stand in physical therapy. I was like, I don't know why we haven't been seeing this. Maybe a little progress each time. Little progress, yeah. Little tiny progress. It would be great. So now when he was like, "Oh, I'm going. I don't care that I'm in a wheelchair. Like, I am going." So I was like, well, thank God.
Yeah.
Like, I'm glad to see some, like, real, I guess it took, you know, Trina being in trouble for him to be like, "I'm going."
Yeah.
Wheelchair or not, I'm going. So that's good. I'm really glad they did that because I was like, you know, it's not fun seeing a guy down in the dumps about being in a wheelchair. Like, we need to see him be motivated to, like, for that to not be his end game, you know, for that just to be for a temporary time.
And I liked when he and Marshall were talking and, you know, Marshall's like, "Go ahead and," you know, he just keeps encouraging him, you know, that Curtis was kind of like, "I knew it wasn't going to be right away that I was going to start walking again," but he did the surgery. Yeah. He felt the pin, you know, the pinprick on his foot, you know, and I want to see that take the time and that kind of play out where Curtis is actually working towards walking again, because I have a feeling that's going to be the end game.
Yeah, eventually. We'll get there. GH is very slow at that, but
I'm sorry, it was Stella that told him to, you know,
Stella was there. Yeah. I was like, why aren't we getting more Stella and Curtis scenes with this kind of stuff?
I mean, you know, Vernie Watson is a very busy lady in Hollywood, so I mean it could just be her.
Oh, that's true. But, that's true. Know. I didn't think about it being like a scheduling thing.
It could be. I don't know for sure. On Monday, you know, so it's just I really like that they finally had the non-Dante or Chase detective there on Monday questioning Kevin. Detective Bennett. He's very rarely seen. And even in my notes, it's, you know, until I realize his name, I'm like, you know, the non-Dante or Chase detective because I didn't remember his name.
Yeah, I don't remember his name.
And by the way, all these notes are going to be available on our Patreon tomorrow. They'll be there for you to take a look at should you choose to peruse. So as we move forward in the week with Sabrina and Esme, and we know that Laura and Portia and Curtis and Dante are on their way over to Paris. They get to the boat. Meanwhile, Esme gets on the boat with them. She kills the captain, whoever was the guy was that confronted her. She literally killed him with was that a fire extinguisher? She knocked him out. She saw the blood. After Trina and Spencer make love, he goes to find a snack, comes out to the deck and sees the trail of blood. While he's out there, Esme and Trina, Esme kind of corners Trina and ties her up, puts her into the boiler room of the.
Let's not be so quick to like skip over that, the fact that that happened, because I saw a tweet on this and someone had said something like, oh, I can't wait for like Trina to like have a fight, you know, with like Esme finally. It happened. I was like, did my girl Trina just like not fight back at all? She just got tied up and that was it? Like, I was a little disappointed. I was like, okay, come on. I know Trina had to fight back a little bit. Like, it just seemed like, oh, it was just so easy. Like, Esme just showed up and then the next cut to the next scene. Like, she's tied up. I'm like, my girl's got fight in her, and she did at the very end, you know? And I was just kind of shocked that it just happened so quickly. But maybe it's because they had to cut it for time. I don't know. But
It's a
I was
possibility.
just a little shocked by that.
It's definitely a possibility that they could have cut it for time. By the way, just to kind of clarify, now let me ask you. Ted Floor brings up a good thing. He said, "I could swear she shoved the captain into a closet alive." I don't remember that. I don't. I just remember him getting knocked in the head. She checked him. She saw the blood coming out of his head and then dragged him off screen. I don't
He
remember.
dragged him off screen. I don't remember the closet thing, but
No, I don't either. But I know that, as far as I knew, she looked at him, she saw the blood, she checked him, and he was dead, at least from what I saw. So we see Esme kind of go in the room, and Trina turns her back, and then all of a sudden, in the next scene, Trina's tied up in the boiler room. Like, I would have loved to see that fight and to see how Trina ended up getting tied up. Like, that to me, I would have wanted to see that too, because we did eventually see Trina escape her binds and escape her, the zip ties when Spencer gets tied up, and Trina and Esme's going to inject him with the poison, with whatever was in the syringe. And then they start fighting. Trina saves Spencer, and that's when they get into that cat fight, rolling around on the ground. The syringe comes out, and then here's something, another controversial thing that happened this week, right before the fight there was. When Spencer comes into the room and realizes Trina's gone, he basically grabs Esme by the throat and pushes her up against the wall. The people in Twitter soap community went apeshit over that. Like, they were saying, how could he? Again, it's male on female violence. And okay, I'm sorry. I understand, and I'm gonna say this. I understand, and I said this a couple weeks ago. This is the Drew and Nina situation. I get it. There are people that have gone through Domestic violence and, male on female violence, and I get that. I am not downplaying it whatsoever. However, I am saying it this way. Spencer comes into the room and he sees that his girlfriend is missing, and the psychotic person who he knows has her memories back, who's a threat to both of them, is in the room, and he, grabs her by the throat. I see nothing wrong with it. How about you? Did you have a problem with that scene?
No, because we know Esme's psycho. Like, I feel like it's justified in
Yep.
this situation. But I mean, yes, it's male on female violence, but it's not like he was choking her to death.
Right, he kind
Like,
of put her up against the wall saying, where's
it
her
was like
treatment?
it was a, yeah, I mean, it was a threatening thing. You could call it like domestic violence.
I think it's
I don't
more
know.
real
I think in
world.
this situation it makes sense
I
with
agree.
everything we know about Esme because she was posing a physical threat.
Yep.
She posed an emotional threat to their relationship. She posed a very like just real threat in general, and obviously she was there to do damage because she showed up in Paris on their boat and snuck on their boat that they knew they had rented out specifically just for them, right?
Yeah.
So like it seems justified in that situation. I mean, other people may not agree with me, that's fine. But I mean, what did people say? Like, why they just because of male on female violence? Like,
I'm gonna have to look it up because there were a couple people that there were the Twitter things. I'm gonna have to scroll back into last week and see if I could find any, because it's just, I don't know. Let's see if I could try to find some here. Let's see. Nope. That's a wrestling one. I have to kind of go through my tweets to see which ones are soap and which ones are wrestling, because it
yeah.
and some of them could be the same kind of topic too, so I have to find,
Yeah, right. I
it was the fact that, come on. Nope, that's not it there. Oh, bother. It's gonna take me a while.
That's okay.
But the
I mean,
fact
I
of the
just
matter
want to
is,
know what you would say, like, oh, how dare he like put her up against the
yeah.
wall? Well, what else was he gonna do to
Exactly.
like stop her from, being a threat to him and Trina at that point? So like, I don't know what else you would expect him to do other than at least physically do something to stop Esme from doing what she was there for, you know?
No, I completely agree with you. Here we go. Here's one. So, all right. So GHWWE fan 23 on Twix said, Spencer choking Esme is a very bad look for him, and it's not good at all. In a reply to somebody who said, if Spencer had put his hands on Esme or threatened to do it in a moment where she wasn't doing anything, I'd have a problem with that. That's not what happened, though. Esme was there to kill them, or at the very least, screw them up, beat them up. He didn't randomly choke her at Bobby's. And I replied, I said, I'm not a huge Sabrina fan, but I don't see an issue with it. Esme was the one attacking, so he did what he had to do to
Right.
defend Trina. If it was done with Esme not doing anything, then I would see a problem with it. And then, they find that Esme did not attack Spencer when he went to choke her at all. She was just in the room. And I get he was worried about Trina, but you don't choke a woman, don't choke women. And then somebody else replied, he saw blood. Trina was missing. I wish he'd continue squeezing. But yeah, it's like it's a whenever you get those things, it gets a big, controversial topic, which is something that entertainment should do and what soap should do more often. You have to kind of skate that edge because you don't want to piss off your fan base, but at the same time, you want people talking about it.
Right.
Nathan Banks chimes in, Nina and Esme are two different characters. Nina is nothing like Esme, where Esme is a threat. And then Ted Fuller says some were upset, some others weren't, and then some compared to Drew and Nina, which is the truth. Honestly, and to be honest with you, in both situations, I didn't have a problem with either one. Now, I've never been a victim of domestic abuse. I'm also a male, 6'3". I do kickboxing, so I would never actually hit a woman anyways. But with that said, I don't come at it from being a victim of domestic violence. I'm coming at it strictly as a person watching a show for entertainment. With the Drew and Nina situation, Drew was pissed off and he specifically said, if you were a man, or I can't do to you what I want to do because you're a woman. So he prefaced it and he kind of said, I'm not going to hit you because you're a woman. With this situation with Spencer and Trina, or Spencer and Esme had already attacked, and Spencer, went out at her because he had to save his girlfriend.
I feel like it's like self-defense, kind of, right?
Yeah.
Like it's kind of like self-defense.
At least in my
So,
opinion.
right. Like it's just obviously, because it's like, I don't know what else you're gonna do to like physically stop her.
Agreed. No, agreed. What else could he have done? Just said, hey, could you show me where, walk, grab, take my hand and show me where you put, where Trina.
Right, like, hey, would you please kindly stop like attacking me and my girlfriend? Like, how
Right.
dare you get on this boat? Like, what? I mean, like, what was he gonna do?
Exactly. So I mean, it again, you're gonna hurt some people's feelings, you're gonna piss off some people, and you're gonna, make some other people happy. So either way, I think the majority of people are happy Esme's gone. I'm happy that she's gone for now. I want to see her come back.
Right. Keeps it
So
interesting.
yes. So before they go to Paris, Marshall was going to take Curtis to a basketball game. So Curtis is, really feeling positive lately. It's like I said, saying that he'll go to Paris as well.
Right.
However, if we move on to a new story, I think we've kind of talked Esme and Sabrina to death, no pun intended. We'll kind of get into more because there were a couple of people that showed up later in the week. But
Yes.
so let's kind of move on. I know it's your probably least favorite storyline. But Finn, if Finn is as Finn's case of malpractice.
Oh, it's yeah. I mean, it's one of my least favorites, but it's not the most least favorite because, of course, my girl Liz is at least getting screen time, even if that's not in a pairing that I particularly like in a storyline that I think served no purpose whatsoever and was a huge waste of time, but here we are.
Although I have to say, this storyline, in my opinion, and you might hate me for saying this, but it made Finn come off more likable than normal.
I mean, I guess that was the goal for
Yeah,
me
of course.
writers, maybe with this storyline, to be like, hey, sorry what we did before with Finn being all up in Elizabeth's business and crossing boundaries and stuff,
Right.
but we're gonna do this storyline where we're gonna have him in trouble and possibly lose his medical license and maybe see if we can get some of you people back on Team Finn or Team Finn and Liz. And I'm just like, no, sorry, you already lost me. Like
But
I was never there. I just find him like the most boring. The storyline did nothing for me to like be like, hey, I like Finn more because he went through this malpractice suit. I didn't care to begin with. So like, You didn't get me, GH. I'm sorry. I was just waiting for the storyline to end because I knew it was a huge waste of time. And then I saw a bunch of tweets on X saying the same thing, like saying, well, what this was, that was a huge waste of time because he didn't end up getting, sued. Like he didn't end up having to pay the woman off or lose his license, medical license, none of that. Like it was like Tracy came to save the day and that was kind of it.
But
And storyline over. Like,
here's what I think made him likable in my eyes, is that when he found out of the situation, is that, he did find out, Sam uncovered that the husband did know about the cancer diagnosis already, kind of setting Finn up for failure. And when he thought about the fact that the wife, was in the dark, that the husband told her to sue, to get money for the kids. He did show that little bit of empathy. He's like, you know what? I don't want to put them out of, anything. And he was about to literally take a guilty plea or saying that he would pay for the lawsuit or whatever.
Finn's not a nice guy or whatever. I'm sure he's nice, but like, I just
I know.
they haven't really written anything that makes me go, oh, I like you now.
Yeah.
Sorry. Like, they already lost me so early on with Finn that I just, it's too far for me to just say, hey. Now, if they wrote him as suddenly being a vampire from like poor Charles, then maybe I would change my tune. Because it would just be more spicy flavor on this guy, but I just don't care. I'm sorry. I would love to care for the sake of the Finn and Liz relationship. But I mean, you know what? At least Elizabeth seems happy, and I would take this boring guy Finn over Franco any day. So it's fine. It's fine. It's a lesser of two evils for me, so it's okay.
So, Martin kind of gives him a an option to go after Mrs. Muldoon for fraud because, theoretically it was fraud because the husband, Mr. Muldoon knew about the cancer diagnosis. Finn did not want to pull the trigger. He was very, hesitant to pull the trigger about the fraud. However, Tracy to the rescue, and like you said, Tracy kind of paid her off. She said, "Listen, Dr. Finn is a good doctor, blah 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 blah. I'm gonna go ahead and donate all the money you need to your whatever they call their GoFundMe." And then Mrs. Muldoon drops the lawsuit. It's still like, again, I understand it because it's something like we never met Mr. Muldoon. We never saw any of the
No.
story play out except until he got served with, the papers for malpractice. So I understand there was no emotional connection to the story at all, at least in my opinion. But
Right. No, there wasn't.
I think Finn came off more likable in my eyes. I'll leave it at that. So Tracy, speaking of which, had a very big week this week.
Did.
Not only did she spend a lot of money to get Finn out of his malpractice case, she also went, "Hey, David, how are you today?" And then she gets outplayed by Carly in the deception meeting. So,
Yeah.
Carly brings Maxie, Brooklyn, and Sasha into Crimson's office. They're gonna, work, try to do a new ad campaign or a new contract for a new ad campaign. And, they're talking over because, of course, the fact is that Carly has never run a magazine before, especially a fashion magazine. So they're trying to get the April,
Yeah.
the April edition to press. And they're trying to figure out what kind of advertising that Crimson can offer to Deception and whatever the case may be. So we get to the point where I'm trying to find my notes here. We get to the point where Tracy comes in after Maxie, Brooklyn, and Sasha are ready to agree to a deal. And then Tracy comes in and wants to talk business. Talk business. So originally, Tracy says that she accepts Carly's offer with no contract. Well, in a business, that's so that if anything happens, they can get out of it. And then, they haggle back and forth. They negotiate the terms of ad revenue and cost and everything. They go back and forth. And Carly outplayed Tracy because she, came up with they went over numbers and negotiated the numbers, and then Carly goes ahead and has everything already written up in a contract as to what they agreed to, because she kind of foresaw the thought that she was going to go ahead and, get Tracy to sign, basically. Which there were some people saying that Tracy never gets beat that way, but nobody ever said Carly was a bad business person.
I'm not even the biggest Carly fan, and I was kind of like, yeah, Carly. Like, I have every confidence that Carly is just gonna learn the ropes of running a magazine and pick it up and be able to run with it. Like, I have no doubt in my mind that Carly will be able to do that because it's Carly and it's Carly's world, and you're just living in it. Like, that's kind of
Exactly.
how I feel about Carly, because that's the kind of attitude she gives off, right? So I have no problem with it, and I kind of like the interplay between Carly and Tracy, and how Tracy was a little like outsmarted in this situation. So I didn't mind it. I think it was great.
Yeah. So, clearly Tracy was outsmarted by Carly there, but she kind of redeems herself a little bit later in the week. We see that Tracy comes in to, Lois and Brooklyn and Chase talking about, and Gregory talking about wedding plans and how Lois wants to take over the entire thing and have the wedding in Brooklyn and or in Bensonhurst and have the have everything. And you're thinking of Tracy that's going to come back with a barb and some kind of thing to kind of pop Lois's balloon, and lo and behold, she agrees. And then it's like, what I loved was Brooklyn and Chase kind of going to Tracy saying, "Why didn't you say anything? We were counting on you to object."
Yeah, I know,
I
because
thought that was
Tracy's
funny.
always the person to like, disagree and argue and stuff. But that was nice. I think Tracy helped him out with the whole Lois situation, and Lois wanted them to have this like thing in Bensonhurst, and they were like, no. And it's like, I don't know why they didn't really, why Brooklyn and Chase didn't really have more of a say. Like, why weren't they speaking up a little bit more? And they just expected Tracy to like interject for them. I thought that was a little strange.
I thought it was a
But
little strange too, but I think the thing is that Lois has such a very strong personality that,
yeah.
and while Brooklyn can be kind of shady on her own in her own ways, I don't think she wants to go and break her mother's heart, because she mentioned it. She's like, when Lois got married, it's like her mom had such a big thing, and it's a big thing for the Bensonhurst mothers, and now it's her turn. So she didn't want to break her heart and didn't want to speak up and what have you. But
It, but I'm just like, gotta say something. That's what I think. Gotta
yeah.
say something. But they worked it out and it was all fine. But I'm more excited about the fact that the wedding planning is happening, and that maybe we're moving. I'm sure we're not. It's not Valentine's Day. It's not going to happen. I would love for that to happen, but it's too soon. So I'm thinking it's going to be like a May late April, May wedding, which is fine.
Yeah, and you're right, David. Gregory did pre-warn Tracy about making a fuss. Like, you know, it was funny watching those scenes because Gregory's like, why can't you just, why do you always have to be the contrarian opinion and make everything more difficult, you know, instead of agreeing and coming to a compromise? That, I mean, yes, I understand the reason why Tracy has to be nicer. But you know, sometimes you have to have that Paul Heyman in the room to provide that contrarian opinion. But, you know, Tracy and Gregory talked afterwards, and, you know, it was funny because Gregory said that he's going to get Tracy on the slingshot. So I doubt that will ever happen.
The thing is, I found interesting was really the whole Tracy and Gregory scenes this week. I was like, why are they pairing these two together? And I've said this before, and I don't know if it had to do with Jane Elliott's contract, but I was like, okay, I just don't know why they didn't do it even for a moment, you know, go there. It seems like they have more chemistry, more like.
Well, Jane Elliott could have chemistry with a broom.
No, yeah. I really enjoy their scenes together this week, and I just feel like Jane Elliott plays Tracy so like harsh, you know, like Tracy comes across so harsh and blunt and mean sometimes, and it's like a softer side of Tracy when you see her with Gregory. So.
Yeah. David chimes in and said, Chase will be serenading Christy at the wedding.
Yeah, okay. Okay, David.
And they agree to have the rehearsal dinner at Coney Island. And then a boat, you know, some kind of a cruise, you know, in New York. And I like how Brooklyn said, how are you going to have everybody go from Port Charles over there, you know, and then back? It's like, oh, well, we could take buses.
You know, I do find that part a little bit like, ooh, isn't that going to be a little stressful? Like trying to like get all these people from Coney Island back to Port Charles, like in one night, the night before the wedding. I feel like that's going to be a little stressful.
Very, yes.
Like, I don't know how close those two places are, like in Port Charles.
Yep.
Time, but I mean, I think it's gonna be a little. I think they're signing themselves up for a little bit too much.
Yeah.
Work for the wedding planner or whoever. Well, I guess that's Maxie's job, right? Maxie's supposed to help them out with the logistics of all this.
I believe so. Yeah.
I would hope so.
Yep.
I hope she's got a great solution because I mean, this seems like it's a lot to do the night before a wedding.
I completely agree with you. So, you know, they finally got their plans and in place. All right. So, kind of moving on a little bit, we finally picked up a storyline that hasn't had any movement in over a week, and that is, you know, Adam being in the hospital after his you know, attempted suicide, and his dad is still there. You know, Joss or Willow brings him his guitar, and you know, he's in there. Joss goes to talk to him, and Adam actually thanks Joss for saving his life, you know, and Joss says, you know, I'm always going to be your friend, I'm always going to be here for you. You know, and it's like the dad is still coming off as overbearing. He says, you know, why haven't you outgrown the guitar? And
we haven't seen the mom yet, right? Just Adam's dad. We haven't seen the mom. I
haven't seen the mother correct? At all.
So I wonder if he just overrides the mother in every decision.
Yeah, that's
she's just kind of along for the ride type of thing. Like she's just not going to cause waves with her husband.
That's what I'm thinking as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, Adam, his father's trying to control the situation. Yeah. You know, and this one seems like another storyline they want to wrap up very quickly.
His father's a control freak, kind of like mine.
Oh,
Sorry, Dad. Sorry, Dad. I think he's not going to listen to this, but my dad's a little
yeah.
control freak too.
And then when Adam is ready to be discharged, he puts his foot down to his dad, and he kind of says, "Listen, no, I'm going to PCU, and I don't want to go home because his dad wants to take him home, get him into a different school." And he, puts himself, kind of puts
Puts
his
his
foot
foot
down.
down. I
And
like it. I was happy. I was
he
happy to see that.
ends up just going back to PCU, and that's actually the end of the run for Joshua Bennard and the character
Oh.
of Adam. For now, at least, the door is
Yeah.
always open for him to come back. But his storyline is over, and I hope to see him back. He was a good, he was a good, good character. Again, he gets a lot of hate, and there were a lot of people that said they didn't want him back, and good riddance and all that. But I'm,
That's kind of rude. I mean,
it's
let we just don't like the character, right? I don't think it's anything against the actor or the person per se. I think this is just like, I feel like this is always just a character thing. And I've learned in the last week that hate is like a really strong word, and I think we tend to use very strong language like that, especially on soap Twitter X. And it's like there is a person there behind the screen, like you're typing, right? And you're behind a screen name, but like there's a person whose feelings you could potentially hurt on the other side of that screen. So I just wish people like recognize that a little bit more before they just type so crazily. And I know I can be guilty of it too myself sometimes, but like just, that like
I
pains
just kind of
me.
want people to be better, in general when it comes to social media. Like, especially the fact that these are entertainment shows. Like, they're not real life. And it's like the sad part is that it happens in every, it's not only soap Twitter, right? It's
Yeah,
wrestling
it's in
Twitter as well.
general on X in general is generally a negative
With the
place.
entire fact that Cody Rhodes got basically screwed out of the main event from facing Roman Reigns from The Rock, and people are so upset about that. The Rock's daughter, Simone Johnson, who her character name in NXT is Ava Rain, who's the general manager, she's pointed out today, or over the weekend on Twitch, that she's been receiving death threats. Like, come on, people. It's just, it's an entertainment show. Like, there's no reason to be getting, to be giving these actors, portrayers, wrestlers, whatever, death threats. Like, be better.
I wish that too, but unfortunately people are people and they're gonna say what they're gonna say, and it's nothing we can't control. Other people, we can't control other people's actions. So unfortunately that's just kind of the way our world is, and it just gets crazier and crazier and crazier these days. So but I wish Adam's portrayer of Joshua, right? Joshua Bernard, who's Maurice's is that his son, right? I wish him the best, and I mean, I'm sure Maurice like got him in, right? Got him in for this job. But that's great. Get him some acting experience, and there's no other better place I think to learn acting than soaps. And I think soaps get a really they're really underrated, and they get like a hard rap, and people think like, oh, that's just like bad acting. It's really not. It's like that people have to memorize so much dialogue in like one freaking day. Like, people don't realize that it's really a good acting ground because it like teaches you how to like learn a lot of dialogue in a short period of time and like do it well and like act it well, So, I think it's great that Maurice had a son on the show, and I wish him well, and I hope that maybe I think Adam will come back and like flourish as like it'd be a happier character maybe if he returns, because it seemed like this time around it was just like, oh yeah, these parents are just hard on him with his grades and stuff. And I wasn't quite buying it until the end,
right.
because we weren't seeing evidence of that until the end. So, you know, I'm glad he's got a little guitar and he wants to maybe pursue music instead of pre-med, because obviously that is not where his heart was.
Could we see at some point down the road him be represented by Brooklyn, you know, at or as a manager, you know, maybe down at some point?
Sure.
So it's a possibility. All right. So we got to move on. We've already been talking for about an hour. There's still a couple more storylines to go over. First one being that we see Ava and Sunny at the island in Puerto Rico. You know, they're talking about, you know, the fact that, you know, they're down there basically for safety. You know, times have changed, and the fact of the matter is Ava is anxious. You know, they're watching Avery play. She's with the nanny, but you know, then all of a sudden, you know, Dex goes down and ends up seeing one of Sonny's guards down, and he notifies Sonny that the man is down. And then all of a sudden, at the end of Tuesday's episode, we hear a gunshot, and then we know that on Wednesday they get attacked. You know, the house is being riddled with bullets, and you know, Dex covers Ava and Sonny to go inside. I assume that at that point, Avery and the nanny are inside as well. Because eventually the shooting stops, and Dex and, you know, Sonny's team are looking for the shooter. But Dex informed them, like, they were in and out quickly. Like, they knew the layout of the security. And, you know, some people have the rumor and innuendo is that it could be Jason working for the WSB as a mole. I don't know if that's going to be his return storyline, that he was the one that shot at Sonny and hit Curtis. And because that storyline's been going back and forth. We still don't know who the intended target was. And we still don't know, you know, who's after Anna, who's after Sonny. All we know is that the weapons are WSB seized, or WSB issued. So we still don't have a lot of the answers.
Well, maybe we will get some answers starting March 4th when Steve Berman returns as Jason Morgan.
Yes.
Or is he going to be Jason Morgan? We don't know, really. I mean, they did this last time when they brought him back.
Right.
He was Patient X or whatever.
So the rumor and innuendo that I've been hearing is that a potential storyline could be that, you know, Jason is found by the WSB. They bring him back to, you know, bring him back to health, good health, and they end up having him work for the WSB, with the caveat being that he'll never attack Sonny. So, you know, because of whatever, they keep Dex as Sonny's right-hand man, and Jason turns good. Jason never goes back to the mob life. He's working for the WSB now. I don't know if that's going to be the storyline or not. That's just a rumor going around. But, I mean, it does present a couple of possible, you know, a couple of possible good storylines by having Jason as a quote-unquote good guy working for a crime. But, I mean, it's like, I would love to see a completely, not a completely different Jason Morgan, but, you know, a little twist on his character. Because even in Beyond Salem, you know, even in Beyond Salem, it's like, and Days of Our Lives, he's still Jason Morgan, just with a different name.
They do that with Days. They tend to do that where they just kind of copycat the character they formerly played on another soap, because I think that was an issue when Brandon came to play, like, what was it, Jake? Which was like Brand, which was Stefan's like twin brother, and they were They were trying to bring him on as like basically another Johnny Demara. And
Yeah.
he was like, wait, I just played this character on General Hospital. Could we change it up? Could we do something different? So like, it's almost like the actor has to be like outspoken and be like, yeah, I don't want to play the same exact character I played on another soap.
Yeah. Nathan chimes in saying, I read somewhere on Twitter a script for re-entry was trashed before Mulcahy was even named in public in Corte. Corte was tasked from scratch, so we can guess that as ASAP, Mulcahy joined her, but Dan and Chris were not writing anything for Steve Burton. So I don't know. I don't know if that's the case or not, but we'll find out on March 4th, won't we?
Right.
Ava needed to go see Avery after the shooting, make sure she was okay, which every mother would want to go see your kid after getting shot at. But she finds, she's blood on her hands, and Dex kind of, wraps her hand in gauze and tape. Ava says Avery's okay, and Sonny says they're looking for the shooter, but but they can't find the shooter at all. No sign. But they did find where the shooter was set up and set, like I said, they knew the security detail. And then we kind of see Ava and Sonny get back to Port Charles, and this is when, Laura tells Sonny about Spencer being killed, supposedly dead. Nina comes to see Ava, and Ava tells Nina about the shooting, and I love how, Ava's like, yeah, you get shot at once or twice. Pretty soon you get used to it.
Well, I guess, that's what you sign up for when you get with Sonny Corinthos, right?
Yeah, right. And it's like Nina said something, and it was like, you do realize who you married, right? Yeah, because Ava and Nina are talking about who attacked them in Puerto Rico. Nina's still upset about losing Sonny. Ava hopes things works out for them. But all right, so I have to ask you, and maybe I'll put this poll up on Twitter tomorrow for and read the results next week. Cyrus, do you think at this point that he really is a good guy who's trying to get back in the good graces of everybody, or is he still kind of doing shady stuff? Because he goes to Laura's house, while Sonny's there. Laura's mad at Sonny for beating up Cyrus. And then lo and behold, Cyrus shows up, and Laura's like, I can't do this right now.
No, he's still doing shady stuff for
You think
sure,
so?
because there was that whole conversation with Sonny after, like, I dropped the assault charges, Sonny, but I'm not a saint. Like, that was just kind of like dropping clues. Like
Yeah.
I'm still a bad guy. I'm just hiding behind this great facade of being a changed person.
I mean, it's almost like they don't know what to do with the Cyrus character, right? It's almost like, I feel like there's been so many twists and turns with that character. I don't know whether it's by design or the fact that they've just changed the character with a different writing teams.
I think they're just taking too long to like get him to try to show what he's actually gonna be, because I think everyone's kind of decided, except maybe Laura, who's holding on to hope that he's somehow changed his tune or whatever.
Yeah.
But I think she's probably the only one who's really like thinking he's got some good in him. But they need to do something
They do.
soon, because it's just they've been kind of playing along with this changed man thing, and then everyone kind of knows he's not really a changed man, but he keeps kind of pulling these stunts like, Oh, well, maybe he is. He let Sonny beat him up. So
I see, I don't know at this point. And I'm still, first of all, Jeff Coburn is a fantastic actor. You're not going to tell me anything. But my biggest key right now, and I'm going to put this out there, is the fact that I feel like when the, and I've said it before, when the FICOR writers came in, they wanted to have, Cyrus be, the leader of Mason and Austin, and he was the leader of that whole thing, and he was, very shady, and he was just spouting, passages from the Bible to kind of hide these things, right? But I feel like with the new writer, with the regular writers coming back, I almost feel like they're trying to set Cyrus up for a redemption story, and he's trying to get his, get the people in Port Charles and the public to understand that he's a different person. And, and it kind of shows the struggles of, people who have a bad record that are changing their lives and what they go through on a daily basis to show people that they're changed. It's like, because I honestly, he still has his instincts to do bad, right? Because he taunted Sonny in the church, saying that, Nina told me, or I know that Nina was the one, yada yada yada. And yeah, you're right. He did say he's not a saint. But I almost feel like he's just trying to gain the acceptance of the people that he is a changed person.
Yeah, he is, but I'm just waiting. It's kind of like the Esme thing. Like you're just waiting for the other shoe to drop. Like you know she like they're gonna go bad again. Just what it's a matter of
Right.
when they're gonna do that. And GH just tends to drag things out to like a crazy long time. And it just I'm just waiting for him to like be fully like I feel like he's just gonna be it's he's either fully bad or he's fully good.
Right.
And we know he's not fully good.
We know.
So like how are they gonna balance that? If he's a mix of the two and maybe he is a little good and he's like a little bad. So like it's just not clear like where exactly they're what
Right.
they're trying to do. And then every time he just starts like paraphrasing the Bible, quoting the Bible, whatever, I just kind of roll my eyes. I'm like, here we go again. It's just kind of like falling on deaf ears for me because I know it's not genuine.
Like, and what my thing is, like, is it going to lead to a story where, Cyrus is doing all these things, showing that he's a changed person, and then, let's say a year down the road, he does slip up and he does do something bad, but it's almost like Nina, like, I'm doing this because you didn't accept me, because you didn't accept the change that I was trying to show you. Or is it to the point where it's going to take almost like, remember when Sonny saved the Haunted Star from the explosion and jumped, threw the bomb off the boat and what have you, that the governor gave him a pardon for because he was a prisoner or whatever the case was. During that whole time with, where Michael had taken Avery from him and all this, is he gonna have to kind of say, sacrifice himself to save someone in order for people to accept him as a good person? I don't know when that's going to.
Like, is he a good person who does bad things? Or is he really, this is really just a facade we think it is this whole time, and he really is just fully bad.
Yeah, well, not, we may never know.
Yeah.
So we there was a new, well, a new slash older character who returned at the end of this past week, and we see a new person, coming in and talking to Carly. Carly asks his name and says that his name is John. And John asks about, where is what happened to Kelly's and why is it called Bobby's and where's the change from? And John says that he used to work at Kelly's when he was younger and all this. And so he goes in and sits down, and meanwhile, while Olivia and Carly are talking and arguing about why Olivia held on to the secret and that whole thing. Like, I understand friends squabble, so I like how they introduced him. He goes up to Leo and, Leo says, I learned that I'm not supposed to talk to strangers. And, John noted, well, first of all, John notices that Leo takes out his little fidget spinner, and which kind of triggered, John to say, oh, well, he's obviously on the spectrum. And he goes to Leo, and Leo says, I'm not supposed to talk to strangers, but John shows him his FBI badge and says, I'm a, from the FBI. So again, we still don't know necessarily who it is, but he's talking to Leo, and Leo's kind of talking to him about animals. And fast forward a little bit, John talks to Olivia, and he says that his son is on the spectrum as well. But then John gets a call and he leaves. We see in the meanwhile, we see Anna and Jordan. Jordan and Anna actually earlier in the week went to go see Brennan in Pentonville. So, because they found out the gun that was shot from the gun that shot Curtis was actually seized by the WSB. So there's a leak in the WSB as to the arms are getting out to people, right? So, he hooks him up with a contact who's been selling these the stolen merchandise. And at the end of Friday's episode, lo and behold, the FBI raids Jordan and his deal because they meet, set it up with this guy. And Anna recognizes Jagger, John Jagger Cates. It's my first introduction to him. I did not watch back in the 90s when he had his original run on the show. And his original portrayer was Antonio Sabato Jr. So again, people were up in arms. And, the fact that it was recast as a blonde hair, blue eye guy. And I think even James Law Jr. put out a GH Dirty Deeds over the weekend saying when recasts go bad.
Well, the character, they are staying true to the character history. I was just looking over the Soaps in Depth article they put out about who is
I have to read that.
Jagger,
David sent that to me earlier today.
And reading the article, which is good for people like you who didn't watch the show back then. And I didn't watch the show in the 90s when he was on. So it's a good article. And, they did stay true to the history of like he had a 5-year-old son named Stone. We know who was with.
Okay, so
Wasn't
he.
Stone with, is that the same Stone with Robin? I think that's the same Stone with Robin,
Oh,
who was with Robin once
that
upon a time.
was he
So
was Stone's
Stone
brother.
had autism.
He was Stone's brother, I thought.
Okay.
Hey, maybe after Stone died, he named his son Stone. I don't know. I thought it was the brother. Maybe I'm mistaken.
I think so. I think so because it was 2008. It says last time he was on screen was 2008, and he had a 5-year-old son named Stone. So it must have been, he must have named him.
Okay.
Yeah, he may named him after his late brother,
That's
which
yeah.
was Stone.
Nathan
Okay. So that makes
verified
sense.
that. Nathan verified that. Jagger Stone's brother. So I guess Antonio Sabato Jr. said in a recent interview
So.
that he wasn't asked to come back as Jagger. And he Antonio Sabato Jr. And I have heard this that he thinks it has it's politically based because he's more of a conservative, and ABC Disney is more of liberal. And again, it's a whole mess. But either way, the character is back, and we don't know for sure. But yeah, Jagger is Stone's brother, and then if he had a 5-year-old named Stone, he named him after that, after his late brother. So that's basically the history, and so he's back in Port Charles as an FBI agent.
Fine by me. Fine by me. I think it's exciting to have some blasts from the past.
Yes, and a legacy character. So it's somebody who's, you know, been there before. It's not a brand new character, kind of like Brennan was. But it's, and he's not with the WSB, he's with the FBI. But they end up raiding Jordan and Anna's, you know, deal that they set up. Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it. Oh, very last thing that happened on Friday was Nicholas and Ace show up on Laura's doorstep. Well, show up at Laura's door. And it remains to be seen if Laura's going to tell Nicholas to turn himself in. Like she did Esme.
Right. Well, we'll see how well that worked out for her.
Yeah.
Yeah. we'll see. I just find it really convenient that, of course, she's going to show up right after Esme and Spencer go off the boat and are presumed dead.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Convenient timing. It's almost like
very
he knew.
Convenient timing.
Yeah. It's almost like he knew. So. Let's
see. Okay. So that's about it. I think we kind of covered just about everything. Remember, for those of you who want to go, patreon.com/sudsandsquaredcircle. These notes will be up tomorrow. My Y&R notes, B&B notes, and Days notes are up as well. After tomorrow night's episode of Dockside of the Bay, I will put up my notes from the Bay of the Beginning, episode 4. So, and
yeah.
On Patreon. Patreon and buy me a coffee. I did start the only tier that I have available on Patreon is a $3 tier, just something small. I know it's hard times now. But if anybody wants to support, go ahead. You can also do one-time donations as well. And that's for buy me a coffee and Patreon as well. And you just go ahead and support the show.
And this guy Vinny here didn't know that on Bold and the Beautiful, Thomas and Hope is like a very controversial subject, which I found interesting because I haven't even been watching Bold and the Beautiful that long. And like, you could just tell on X from the start, like there's people who really want Liam and Hope back together. And then there's people who are all for Thomas and Hope. But obviously, I consider Hope in her Reputation era, and she's all about Thomas right now. So we'll see how long it lasts.
We shall.
I find it fun. I find it entertaining. I kind of like to see both sides of the thing, but that's becoming from me who I really only watched like the Hope stuff, the Thomas and Hope stuff. So, and it's coming from me who doesn't really know like the whole backstory of many years ago. Yeah. Like, I haven't really been watching that long. So it's kind of easy for me to, like, multi-ship. It's like, yeah, sure, I like it with Liam, but I also kind of like it with Thomas, too. It's like a different side of Hope. Like, it's interesting. So that show is very, very interesting. But I just had to put that side note in there for those who also watch Bold and the Beautiful.
I was actually in the chat room yesterday of the B&B Mini Spotlight on JLJ Media's YouTube page. And I'm a new watcher to Bold and the Beautiful. And, you know, I asked the question because I know that Brooke had said that she's worried about, you know, Thomas's mental health. I did not know that he had mental health problems in the past.
Oh, yeah. That's kind of why he was a psycho and did all these bad things once upon a time.
I got a good lesson on Thomas yesterday. So, you know, I'm sure I'll be learning a lot more going forward from there. We are just about out of time. You know, we've been going for just about an hour and a half. I want to thank you all for watching and listening. Go ahead and hit that like button, subscribe, get notified, as well as if you're listening to the podcast feed, give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. And as always, if you're new to the show, we do go ahead and end our show with a grateful minute. Thankful minute, I should say. So, as always, ladies first. So, Christy, if you're ready, I will go ahead and start the 1-minute countdown.
Gosh, I guess I'm ready. All right. I am grateful for my job, but I still have a job. I won't get into it. I am grateful for friends who checked in on me during the week. I'm very grateful for that. Well, actually, this past weekend. So that was good. I'm grateful for. I don't know what else to say. I'm grateful for. I'm just grateful for the regular, for the fight, for the basic things in life. You know, I've got food, I've got shelter, I've got way too many clothes. I've got cats who are just waiting there to give me emotional support. You know, I'm very blessed, and I just know that not everyone is. So I'm just grateful to be blessed, and I'm grateful also that I did get my Suds in the Squared Circle cup. I just
Good.
wanted to tell you that. I just got it in the mail today, so I'm grateful for that as well.
Good. I'm
So
glad. And by the way, if you see me, I'm drinking out of the Suds in the Squared Circle official tumbler. And that was made by Creations by Riss, RISS. She's on Facebook. Go over to Creations by Riss. And again, if you want to buy anything personalized, tumblers as well as other stuff, check out the Facebook page, Creations by Riss. We're also creationsbyriss@gmail.com. Go ahead and check her work out. All right. And it's my turn now, so I'll reset the timer for a minute. You know what? I'm thankful for struggles. It's been a really hard week this week. For those of you who still who those of you don't know, who know, I am still looking for work or trying to grow this podcasting platform. But again, you can start making money with that. It's just been a huge struggle this week. So I am looking for a job, but I am grateful and thankful for actually going through the struggle because it does make me stronger. I'm grateful to be able to get back into the church community that I go to. And I know that, not many people want to talk about religion or politics at all. And I'm trying to kind of stay out of it. But for the past 2 weeks, every day I've been getting into my Bible and getting, advice from God and what His words are. And I know, again, that's a controversial topic, but I'll just kind of leave it at that. But I am thankful to be able to get that kind of viewpoint that's not my own viewpoint and not do it on my own. But that's it for the day. It is 11:30 p.m. on the East Coast, 8:30 p.m. on the West Coast, and we are out of time. So this will go up on the podcast feed tomorrow. Remember, Suds and Squared Circle. Everything is going to be on that podcast feed until we start getting bigger audience, then we may split it. Everything's going to stay on this YouTube channel as well. And everything, for the socials will stay Suds and Squared Circle until we get to big enough where we might need a second, another one. But anyways, folks, I want to thank you all for watching and listening. Again, go ahead, get like it, get notified, subscribe. And again, to just remind you, we are officially affiliates of the WWE shop, where you can get this awesome NWO shirt or this awesome I'm a Paul Heyman guy shirt. And you can go to sudsandsquaredcircle.com/wrestlingmerch, and that gives you the affiliate link for us. Christy, any closing thoughts before we end this show for the week?
I don't know. Be kind. Try to be kind. I know that's a controversial thing on X, but be kind. Just try it.
Yes.
It might work in your favor. I don't know. Be kind. Just try it and try to like this is something I continually work on is to think before I speak and not let my big mouth get me in trouble, which sometimes unfortunately happens. And just to think about, the words that you use, and hate is a very strong word, so just be careful maybe when you use that because it just has such a negative connotation. And maybe you don't mean hate, maybe you just strongly don't like what someone does or someone says. But it's just such a strong word, and I feel like it should only be reserved for like certain things that really really deserve that kind of language. I don't know. Just me. Just me. You don't have to follow my advice, obviously. You know, y'all do your own thing. I can't control. I just have the serenity to accept the things that I cannot control or change. So, you know, that's just me. But I love y'all for listening to us, and thanks. And I guess we'll see you next week.
Yeah, we will see you next week. Remember, tomorrow night, 10 p.m. Eastern time is Dockside at the Bay right here. Same Suds and Squared Circle YouTube channel. And then later on in the week will be Squared Circle News with special guest Amanda Russ from Bold and Beautiful Mini Spotlight and YNR Mini Spotlight. All right. Have a great week, everybody. I will see you tomorrow. Chris, you'll see you next week. And again, like she says, be kind. Have a great night, everybody. All right, that stopped.